again up to 6 months after they returned. Post-traumatic stress grew by 50%, depression doubled. Colonel Charles Milliken led this groundbreaking study in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Over 20% of soldiers were referred for further mental health care or were already under care at the time of the second screen.
It was twice that for National Guard and Reserve troops. The Pentagon hopes this unprecedented testing effort will reduce the stigma soldiers often feel about seeking help back home. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Does your company go through ink like water? Then Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. And you can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases when you use your WorkLife Rewards card. Buy multi-packs of ink and recycle three HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. WorkLife Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP ink. See store and visit myworkliferewards.com for details.
Sam's Club has cranberry pomegranate pork loin. Would that be good?
Oh, it's so good.
Why do you look like me?
I'm future you. And because of that pork loin, there are 10 very satisfied people in our living room.
But I only invited 5 people. Word gets around.
Join us November 16th through the 18th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. There are chef demonstrations, food samples, and party supplies. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Cause for celebration on Wall Street, where the Dow jumped 319 points today. The Nasdaq soared up 89 points, or 3.5%. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the market got some good news for a change.
We had a nice pullback in oil back below $92 a barrel. Strong earnings from Walmart, that was a surprise. And Goldman Sachs giving investors some hope in the credit crisis.
Goldman said it does not expect to take a big hit from the subprime mortgage meltdown. The price of crude oil plunged nearly $3.50. Analyst John Kilduff says there's been a major change in the economic forecast.
The International Energy Agency came in and reduced global demand outlook for the rest of this year and for 2008, globally and specifically for the U.S. and even for China.
The Energy Department says the average price for gasoline jumped nearly 10 cents last week to $3.11 a gallon. Attorney General Michael Mukasey, on the job just a few days, has reversed his predecessor Alberto Gonzalez by reopening an investigation of the government's warrantless wiretapping. New York Congressman Maurice Hinchey says he's delighted.
We finally have an attorney general who understands that he has a specific obligation and responsibility to the people of this country, to the rule of law, and the maintenance of the Constitution.
Hinchey and other Democrats have been demanding a probe to determine whether the spy program complies with the law. Hillary Clinton remains the front runner, but CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic tells us her main Democratic rivals are closing the gap in one early contest.
In Iowa, CBS News, New York Times poll shows that among likely Democratic caucus goers, it's a three-way contest. Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Barack Obama, all within the margin of error.
Clinton's support is at 25%, followed by Edwards at 23% and Obama at 22%. Among Republicans likely to go to the January caucuses, Mitt Romney is ahead at 27%. Mike Huckabee has 21%. Rudy Giuliani is a distant third at 15%. The same poll found Clinton and Romney have commanding leads in New Hampshire. A 10-year-old boy playing with matches admitted starting one of the Southern California wildfires last month, but the Los Angeles DA's office has decided not to charge the boy, saying there's no evidence he intended to cause harm. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desks to suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoughtfully designed products are adaptable, modular, and multi-purpose, maximizing flexibility in your office. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. And I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and you handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live from from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who's never had a chance. It's just another captain going down with the ship. Just another jerk taking pride in his work.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining us this hour. Senator Mike Gravel returns to our program, Democratic candidate for President of these United States. Senator, how are you today?
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. And we missed you in Philadelphia.
Well, it wasn't of my choosing.
I know that.
I think that the orders came down from General Electric that they didn't want a candidate talking about the military-industrial complex when they're one of the outstanding war profiteers in the American industry.
Now, is there still a general at General Electric? There was General Sarnoff at RCA, but I don't think there's an actual general there anymore, is there?
I don't think so either. But wait a second, that's not so. I'll bet you they've hired a lot of generals that have left the military that gone over to the private sector so that they can get the money and sell their products to the generals who were colonels when they were generals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they rented a lot of generals for the coverage of the shock and awe campaign. We certainly saw them on TV. But, Mike, this is a critical issue because I do understand. I've actually organized these kind of debates at the level of the United States Senate. And when you organize them, there are difficult choices about who's a real contender and, you know, who fits. But at this stage of the race, not a single vote has been cast. So MSNBC made a determination based primarily on your fundraising and secondarily on your poll position. But let's discount the poll issue because you're in a dead heat with Joe Biden and Chris Dodd, and Dennis Kucinich is just a couple of points ahead of you
in the
national name recognition polls. And so it really did come down to an issue that they're saying you're not rich enough to participate, either because of personal means or fundraising through campaigns or accepting, you know, PAC or lobbyist contributions. They basically made the determination that people shouldn't hear your views because you don't have enough money.
But by comparison, if you'll notice, that all of the others except Edwards are still in office when they lose the president's nomination. So people who invest money in them, they can't lose. They're always going to have their ear while they live out their terms in Congress. Isn't it interesting, Peter, that everybody knows that the criteria that's corrupting our political system is money. Money's corrupting the system. And so you get a determination made by media corporations and their owners that we're going to judge who has a chance to be president by how much money they've raised, or put it another way, in code, how corrupt they are, because money is the corrupting influence.
Yeah. Now, Mike, I hope that somebody will step forward who's a legal eagle who would take this case. It'll take 2 or 3 years to really prosecute it. But somebody really should, on your behalf, challenge the decision that NBC made. And here's one of the issues that I see, that they very cleverly used their cable channel, MSNBC, as the originator of the debate. But they brought on their main anchor from the NBC network, Tim Russert, to conduct the debate. And in the way they've done this, they are skirting the laws that govern broadcast licensed facilities. That's over-the-air television. So if they had done this on the main NBC network and broadcast it on NBC-owned and operated stations, I believe they would have had to adhere to the Communications Act of 1934, which essentially would not have permitted them to unilaterally force you off the stage.
I think you're entirely right, Peter. And I couldn't agree more. The problem is that I don't have the resources to litigate it. Mm-hmm. I would hope that there's some attorney within the sound of my voice who might want to get involved, and I think that that we could go after not only NBC but their owners, mm-hmm. General Electric, and they've got deep pockets. And so if there's some attorneys that want to pursue this, I would cooperate. But I don't have the resources nor the time to do this at this point in time.
Sure, I understand. Now, are you invited to Thursday night's debate in Iowa?
No, I'm not.
And who made
the rubber hits the road?
Who made that call? I'm not sure who's sponsoring that debate.
Well, let's make that's CNN.
CNN.
If you recall, they tried to put me out on the debate in New Hampshire, but then they backed down because of pressure from the public. But what's happened now is the elements of what could be a conspiracy. It's interesting that the debate in with MSNBC, we contacted the office of Dean, Chairman Dean of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. We asked them, since this is a sanctioned Democratic Party sanctioned debate, we asked them, are you going to step in and address this problem, which is one of corporate censorship and one of free speech? They backed down and said very simply to a staff person, well, it wasn't our decision. That's not so. The decision to sanction these debates was made by the leadership of the Democratic Party, and now you get the second sanctioned debate, and then the next one in Los Angeles, which is a sanctioned Democratic Party debate, and I am cut out of both of them. And isn't it interesting? There are other debates in January where it's not sanctioned, and I'm part of the debates. And the embarrassment's going to get even worse, Peter, because on Thursday night, after the debate, I will be appearing on the podium with the other seven Democratic presidential nominees at the Clark County Jefferson Jackson Day dinner. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats of Nevada are treating me more fairly than is the Democratic leadership of the party in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And I really think we need to have very clear and transparent ground rules, because these are critical issues, Mike. I believe that you have brought a voice that is not constrained by corporate influences and by big money. You're not a toady to the Democratic Party. And it makes you dangerous. And I like that.
Well, but the people who feel the danger, whether it's the other candidates, and let me point this out, that can you imagine all these people want to be president of the United States, and they're tone deaf with respect to corporate censorship or with respect to just plain free speech in the Democratic electoral process? All of these other seven candidates should be ashamed of themselves.
Now, Mike, you had a clever response in Philadelphia. You rented a restaurant or a hall down the street. You had a big screen TV and a TiVo, and I didn't get to watch you watch the debate, but from what I understand, you provided a real-time commentary by pausing the TiVo machine and talking back to the talking heads.
That's right, and of course, that cost us $20,000, which took two-thirds of our campaign account. But let me point out to you, that was the first time in history that was done in the political area. And I really didn't know what we were doing, by and large. I didn't know that the technology would be able to do it till about midday of the debates. So nobody knew about it. Oh, a lot of people were blogging. But right now, we have announced, as of Monday in the press release, that we're going to have the Senator Gravel alternate debate. And it's going to be, and we don't need a big hall. We're not going to have to pay for this. We're going to use the green room that the Democratic Party is providing me for the banquet.
Uh-huh.
And in that green room, and we'll invite some media, anybody who wants to attend. Peter, if you're there, please come in. And what we're going to do is we're going to do the same thing only we understand the technology a little better than what we did before. But it's still complex, and it really takes two brains to operate it, one mm-hmm. brain to listen and another brain to talk about it. And I'll do the best I can.
But, with your single brain.
I find it interesting.
Now, Mike, maybe you need to do some theatrical staging here. And I'm drawing on two recent events. One was the phony FEMA news conference in San Diego. You remember that? Where the FEMA guy got up and had his employees ask him questions. They claimed there just weren't any reporters around.
Yeah.
And so you could set up your own FEMA news conference and then have people ask you pre-planned softball questions just like Hillary and George W. do.
Peter, you're too diabolical. You're exposing these people for what they are. And I'll tell you the truth, you know, it sounds great, but I don't have the stomach for that kind of crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mike, I got about 1 minute till the break here. If you were in that debate tomorrow night, what's the most critical point that you'd like to make that is not being made by the other candidates right now?
One is the imminence of war with Iran. This is still, as you know, I raised that before anybody else, right at the day that the vote took place. And so... Oh, Edwards and a few of the others have beat on. But stop and think. It's not just Hillary. Sure, she voted wrong. But understand that it's the Democratic Party that brought this vote about and passed it. And the Democratic Party, like it did with the Iraq War, has given George Bush the ability to go to war. And that's not a small... And I'll be raising this at the dinner and, of course, in the debate itself, if it's not raised. It's not just Hillary. Oh, she's terrible. But then so is the rest of the Democratic Party that's in control today. And people should know this, and I want a party to correct itself. And if it can't correct itself, then that's the end of the Democratic Party, believe me.
All right, Mike Gravel is with us, former senator from Alaska, and now a Democratic candidate for president, excluded again from a CNN-sponsored debate in Iowa this Thursday night. And we're happy to give him voice here and honor his First Amendment rights and yours to hear him. We'll open up the phones here in the next segment. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, do it now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
And there it is, the traffic music. So that means traffic is upon us. Let's get to it. Let's start off with the Santa Cruz Mountains, where we have absolutely 110% nothing to talk about, which is good. Traffic moving well in both directions, northbound and southbound. Those are the directions. Corralitos, Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos Road. We have a box truck. It's completely stalled out. It's blocking the left lane. And they're going to need a special tow truck to apparently move that vehicle out of those lanes there. In Aptos, southbound 1 at Soquel Drive, a two-car crash has been cleared from the right lane to the right shoulder. CHP is on the scene. In fact, they're taking a report as we speak. Some sort of problem in Santa Cruz, Paso Tiempo at Hollins Drive. It's a grass fire reportedly in the area. The fire department units are on the way to the scene there. Traffic on KRXA.
The gospel according to Grace Jones. Mike Gravel is with us. He served two terms in the U.S. Senate from Alaska, and he's a Democratic candidate for president, as we covered in the first segment. He's been excluded from the last debate and the one that is scheduled for this Thursday night coming from Iowa. But he does fight on, and Mike, I agree with you about your concern about the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran. And it's one of the reasons that I support Dennis Kucinich in his effort to get the Congress to study and pursue impeachment, starting with Vice President Cheney. What do you think of that effort and the way Nancy Pelosi has tried to deflect it, and the Democratic leadership got deeply embarrassed by the bizarre tactics of the Republicans last week when they had to scramble to prevent a debate from breaking out about Kucinich's impeachment resolution?
Well, first off, the leadership controls what can be done. That's Pelosi, and with Conyers, the head of the judiciary. It's very sad. At least Henry Waxman is making the effort to figure out what the fraud was and the criminality of the Bush administration. But that's something that needs to be pursued by Conyers with the Judiciary Committee. When there's not a will to do that, and there isn't, it's very sad. Now, Dennis, in his tactics, has brought some attention to it, but those tactics aren't going to work, unfortunately. But the people out on the streets calling for impeachment do help a great deal. They create a climate that that hopefully that the Congress will react upon, but it doesn't seem to be working in that regard. We've got a little bit of the situation that occurred with during the Vietnam, and that is where we had a lot of people in the streets protesting, but it really created a climate that pressured Bush into making a decision to withdraw. Well, the same thing could happen with this. People protesting, the Democrats protesting, maybe will push the leadership to do this. Tactically, I think they're wrong in not doing something. But
I think Pelosi should just say, I release my caucus, follow your conscience, and we will allow the will of the people as voiced by their representatives to call the shots here.
She should and could do that if she wanted to. But I just don't truly know why she's not doing it. I really don't.
Now, Senator, also related to Iran, Congressman Jim McDermott of Washington State has proposed that Congress itself participate in war games, which would help us understand the different scenarios of a military assault on Iran, because it's often described in our media like it's some video game, and we can just throw missiles and bombs at Iran, and nothing will happen. And I think McDermott's on to a very interesting idea there to force both Democrats and Republicans to study the consequences. We've had no debate and no real honest, open reporting on what can occur if Bush gets his way.
Well, and Peter, you should note that that came up, the Lieberman Amendment just came up without notice and was passed immediately after over the objections of Webb, Senator Webb from Virginia,
yeah,
who pointed out that this is illegal, and it was not necessary. We'd already the UN had already sanctioned these people. No, what was going on? And think of it now. Immediately they bring it up. There's no notice, and it's essentially giving Bush the power to go to war. And it's brought up by Lieberman, the same guy that brought up the Iraqi resolution and brought about that war. And what do you get? You get the majority leader, Reid. You get the majority whip. You get the chairman of the committee. You get the Senate finance, the Senate campaign chairman. And then you get Hillary. And 70, all told, it was 76, the same number of people that voted for the Iraq war.
Yeah.
Now, that happened, orchestrated, so quickly, so people couldn't notice it. I only wish that Webb had filibustered it and bought a couple days so people could focus on this decision. But no, now the stuff is out there. Bush can go to war anytime he wants. And look at the drumbeat. You get the head of Britain, Gordon Brown, said it's okay to invade. We get Sarkozy of France, it's okay to invade.
We got a poll says 52% of Americans support an invasion, or
that's
at least
right,
a military attack.
Well, because of the drumbeat and the newspapers, like the Washington Post, that give some legitimacy to this, like we really are having a dialogue with diplomacy, and obviously they'll wait a little longer, and come next spring they'll say, well, we've tried with diplomacy,
yeah,
now we really got to act.
Yeah.
The stupid part of this is that Iran is not a threat to us in the slightest.
Yes, and Landay in the McClatchy newspapers established that last week. Mike Revelle, thanks for joining us. Best wishes to you, and we'll keep pushing for you.
Thank you very much, Peter. Take care.
Mike Revelle, presidential candidate on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Surge accomplished. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The figures are coming in. They look good. Violence in Iraq has gone down. We may have lost more soldiers this year than in any year since the war began, but the monthly rate is down. Fewer Iraqis are dying. There are reports that neighborhoods are reviving. And I know the words may stick in some people's throats, but it's time to say the surge has worked. Come on, say it. The surge has worked. I don't know, some of you will argue that these figures only show the violence is down to where it was before the surge, but this is not the time for such arguments. It is time to say the surge has worked, because that fulfills the conditions laid out exactly 2 months ago.
The principle guiding my decisions on troop levels in Iraq is return on success. The more successful we are, the more American troops can return home.
Violence down, shops reopening. Sounds like success to me. And if you still can't bring yourself to say it, look at these numbers. Congress's Joint Economic Committee says the total cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, including the effects on oil prices, interest on the money we've borrowed, and the cost of treating wounded veterans, totals $1.5 trillion so far, more than twice the cost of Vietnam. Continuing the war for 10 more years would be another $2 trillion. Now, do you believe the surge has worked? Because otherwise, the cost goes to more than $10,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. Although, with all the borrowing, most of the bill goes to the child, so I hope you've at least upped the kid's allowance. It's only fair. Now this.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money. It's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We play music during the breaks here while you hear commercials. And I had James Brown going there doing a man's world. And one of his grunts popped up there right at the end. Sorry. I don't know about you, but I really miss James Brown. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold joins us every week about this time, investigative managing editor, something like that, at truthout.org. And he's also the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. Congratulations to you on your exclusive video interview with Valerie Wilson.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was, trying to get that going for a while. So I was happy that finally was able to land that.
Yeah.
And I think it went well.
I've only gotten to watch part one. I've got it queued up to a point that will roll here in a couple of minutes. But, Jason, I want to give you credit because you sat down with her and she wasn't terribly responsive on this set of questions that you asked.
Yeah.
But you were honest about, hey, I'm the guy who reported that Karl Rove got indicted.
Right.
And, again, I don't think she was particularly responsive to your questions in that area. But I just give you a lot of credit because there are a lot of reporters who would want to sweep that one under the rug or shred
sure.
it and say, you know, it never happened. But
yeah, I found out, it would be hard, for me at least, hard to ignore that 800-pound gorilla in the room. I mean, it was obviously a big story. To this day, there continues to be fallout from it. This was my first opportunity to speak with her in person and, at least bring that up to ask her specifically what she has been told,
right.
Whether or not she had any conversations with, Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor. And, and let's remember, this is she was a covert CIA operative whose business was gathering intelligence. I was interested to find out whether she did any of that, specifically as it related to Karl Rove, and, you know, at the same time to just acknowledge the fact that, you know, this is a story I reported, and at least see if she could shed any additional light on what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say, Peter, that, you know, to this day, obviously, we've never seen a letter, we've never seen any of the information that was passed back and forth between Patrick Fitzgerald and Karl Rove's attorney. And I have filed a Freedom of Information Act request just to at least see if we can obtain that letter, in addition to the calendars that Karl Rove had, you know, for that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me at least, it's obviously personal to at least have a bit of closure there.
Yeah.
And I think people would at least like to know, you know, what's happening.
Well, and the awkward thing is, Jason, is that your report has never been directly contradicted. I mean,
no. We
know that, there, as a matter of fact, that as of this date, Karl Rove has not been indicted, and that Fitzgerald has disbanded his investigation, so it's probably safe to say he shall not be indicted.
Right. But, I think that's very safe to say.
But at the time, you had what I believe were good sources. I don't know exactly what they were, but I take you at your word.
Yeah.
And also, there was this murky factor of the sealed indictment that was labeled sealed versus sealed.
Right.
And we've never really seen that unraveled.
No, and we haven't. And those are some of the important questions that I still think, you know, geez, it's amazing that it's really been, it's been a year and a half since that story came out. And, you know, every now and then I will get something in my email box and from someone who said, hey, I saw this posting out there on a blog, you know, where people have, you know, commented on when they're commenting on journalism or when they're commenting on why, you know, they should not believe a certain story. They, you know, use the Karl Rove story as an example. I think it's a really poor example because, again, you know, this was a story that came from, you know, good sources. Obviously, as you said, you know, it's Karl Rove is not going to be indicted. The investigation is disbanded. But there are still serious unanswered questions that, you know, deserve to be asked and hopefully can be answered.
And if I were Valerie Wilson, I would not be satisfied with the work that Pat Fitzgerald did.
No, and she was very, you know, I have to say that I was somewhat surprised because she was very complimentary, and she certainly is complimentary of him in her book. You know, I believe that she was hesitant. You know, she's someone at this point who is probably not fully used to being in the spotlight, and certainly never had to go out there and speak critically of anyone. But I did find that she was uncomfortable in speaking critically of anyone in that capacity as Patrick Fitzgerald, unless I pressed her on it. You know, George Tenet is just a perfect example,
mm-hmm.
and I brought that up in our interview, and you know, she said that he has certain issues, and you know, I had to go back to it and say, let's get back to George Tenet. What are these issues that you're, you know, that you think he needs to deal with?
Well, I've been watching with some fascination the series of interviews, and hopefully us lower on the food chain here in the media are going to get a shot at Valerie Wilson sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And also I should say that, you know, the video, it's two parts. It's a total of about 20 minutes. I sat with her for an hour, so it was a really, we had a very lengthy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did think that this is that she had a lot to say. I think one of the, for me, something that was I found very interesting was when, you know, I asked her, what are some of the questions for you that remain unanswered?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, in fact, that's what I have queued up. Shall we listen?
Yeah, sure.
You set me right up, and you didn't even know it. We're talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org, and the video clip I'm about to play is right up there at truthout.org today.
Yeah. What else for you remains in terms of some unanswered questions.
Well, a couple things. I'd like to know who originally passed my name from the CIA through and to the office of the vice president, and under what circumstances? How did that happen? I'd like to know, why did Novak go with my maiden name, Plame, in his...
Now, Jason, this is the first time I've heard that raised.
Yeah, that was actually, that's why it stuck out for me, because perhaps maybe early on, people may have been discussing it, but certainly haven't thought about it.
Yeah, Bill Maher didn't ask that. Chris Matthews didn't ask that. It wasn't on 60 Minutes. All right, we'll continue here.
His original article. I always thought that was strange.
Now, can you explain, like, how he would have...
No, I can't.
Okay.
I have no idea. When I married, I took my married name and...
Valerie Wilson is what is,
that's
is
correct.
Who you
and,
would
and
as.
Then he used Valerie Plame. So I don't have any insight into how that happened.
Was it just the CIA who knew that, obviously, that was your maiden name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the CIA, it was only the CIA that knew that I worked for them and my maiden
right.
name was Plame. And the other thing I'd love to know is, what did President Bush know about all of this?
Yeah. Can you describe the threats that you were receiving? Were they?
All right, we'll come back to the threats part here. But that last question is the real money shot.
Right. Exactly.
What did Bush know?
President Bush know?
Yeah.
And certainly to this day, we have no idea what President Bush knew. I mean, we do know that in October 2003, he had said publicly that this is a town full of leakers, and it's unlikely that we'll find a leaker. But I did think that, what she said about... Robert Novak and how he found out that her name was Plame and why they used Plame. And, I went back and started checking some of the public documents out, and Robert Novak had said that he found her name as Valerie Plame in Who's Who, which, seemed a bit unlikely or a good cover story at the time. But in the documents that were passed back and forth, particularly the original document that came from that the State Department had passed to Richard Armitage and was passed to the Vice President's office, this was a document that actually said Valerie Wilson, and it did not say Valerie Plame on it. And so when there was that bit of a chuckle when I. Valerie Plame's chuckle when I said, well, it was only the CIA that obviously knew your maiden name. She, it was important because, it was the CIA that was the only agency that knew that her maiden name was Plame.
Now, Jason, I'm thinking back, and I believe it was Ari Fleischer who testified about this at the Libby trial. I could be wrong, but that's what I recall. That he was on a flight, a lengthy flight that they took to Africa, which
right.
I place in July 11th or 12th,
right.
Just a few days after Wilson's op-ed piece had appeared in the New York Times. And on that flight were Ari Fleischer, the president, and Colin Powell, probably others, but those are the people I recall. And I believe Fleischer indicated that he reviewed a memo that had her name in it and the fact that she worked at the CIA, and that in the margin next to that was the standard designation, I believe the letter S or something like
correct.
That, saying that this was secret.
Yes.
Do we know if that memo named her as Plame or Wilson?
That memo, by the way, is the same memo that Richard Armitage got a hold of and that was also passed over to the vice president's office, and it did say Valerie Wilson. So I do think it's actually, she brings up a valid, good question. How did Plame, how is it that when the documents that they had in their hand said Wilson, did Plame suddenly, become the name that they used when that was her maiden name and she took her married name? And in addition to that, I think that, when she said that how her name was actually brought up, she was under non-official cover. It's a need to know basis in terms of passing her name, status, etc., over to various officials. So that's another interesting point, and I'm sure there'll be this is a story that's gone on for years, and it still appears to have a bit of life left in it. But again, you know, one thing that the public doesn't know is who at the CIA or who is responsible for actually, you know, digging her name up and passing it along.
We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's from truthout.org. That's the site where you can review this video for yourself. Two parts, his interview with Valerie Wilson. And, Jason, I believe it was in another part of segment one where you asked her about her suspicions about the role of the vice president and his office, and that she seemed to deflect a little bit.
Yeah, that was, obviously, I had 3 pages of questions, Peter, and I went right into the fact that does she believe that they declassified her name? As we had this conversation before a while back.
Yes, we did.
And the vice president, you know, claimed that he had the authority to declassify at will. We know that the National Intelligence Estimate was selectively declassified, passed along to Judith Miller in order to rebut the allegations that Joe Wilson had lodged, you know, against the administration. So if they felt that they could do that, declassify the highly coveted National Intelligence Estimate, well, you know, did they declassify her name and her status? So I wanted to see what she thought, and it was the answer was, I would say, it was a little bit disappointing. I mean, she said that, you know, I don't know.
yeah.
My feeling is that, you know, you have an opinion. Certainly you have a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
She is, again, she's somebody who clearly works in the intelligence gathering business, but, you know, on a psychological level, you know what your gut tells you.
We're talking with Jason. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about Valerie Wilson, call her plain. It's all right with me. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Well, just got off the phone with the folks from the CHP who tell us that we do have a problem being reported, and it is in Well, Santa Cruz, Pasatiempo, and Holland's got the grass fire reportedly in the area. Fire department is on scene at this point. Everything pretty much under control, though. Looks like we have Santa Cruz southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, accident right shoulder. Monterey County, eastbound 68 after Santa Benicio. It is a pickup truck and a car involved in an accident, and everything's off to the shoulder. Watsonville, Eureka Canyon at Lower Highland Road. A vehicle hit a deer. The deer is still in the lanes, so heads up for that particular problem. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report. And northbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carr southbound direction looking pretty good at this point.
No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, dancing around the studio here with Shakira. We're talking with Jason Leopold. His video interview with Valerie Wilson is powerful, but you can't really dance to it. Let's listen to another excerpt here. Oh, I got to click on this one here. I got too many mice going.
The threats that you were receiving, were they threats on your life?
I can't go into detail for obvious reason.
Is that the reasons? Are they classified? Are they secret? Or?
I think for security reasons. It doesn't make any sense to provide more information than I really should. But I will say this. In the spring of 2004, we received some very serious, very credible threats against me and, curiously enough, against Tenant Ashcroft and Rove. And it was so serious that I finally went to the head of CIA security and requested additional security on our residence, because that's where we were most vulnerable, of course. And the agency denied it. And I can tell you, I was heartbroken because they make a big deal out of being a family and so forth. The other three targets, Ashcroft, Tenet, and Rove, already had 24/7 security, two from work, two from their kids' school, whatever. I had none of that, and it felt very lonely. And, of course, as a parent, your child's security is paramount.
You said that you requested additional security, so you had
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear.
Okay.
Any security on my residence.
So they denied you any security whatsoever.
They did say at the time we were living in Washington, D.C., that they would have more patrol cars go by our house.
Oh, Jason, that's really hung out to dry. I mean, to say that the D.C. cops are going to provide security, I'm sorry. The Metropolitan Police in Washington are not the greatest, men and women wearing badges and guns.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is stunning that... Go ahead.
It's actually, I could tell that she was still sort of shocked at the fact that they denied her additional security. And, you know, in addition to that, it begs the question, were they, you know, if she was under that sort of threat, well, clearly it would appear to have been a life-threatening situation where they just didn't care if somebody, you know, was out to get her or out to assassinate her. I know that sounds just dramatic, but that's certainly what this what I think she was implying there.
Yeah. Now, Jason, as I mentioned, I haven't had time to review part two of your video interview. Any highlights there that you want to mention?
Well, yeah, we were actually discussing, I think in part two we were discussing the situation with Iran, and she had worked on counterproliferation issues related to Iran, and I had asked her whether, you know, she believed that Iran posed a threat to our, you know, to the United States, as certainly, you know, the neocons and Vice President Cheney and George Bush have claimed. And, you know, again, she did say that she believed that Iran, what they really want is a, quote, modicum of respect. But she did believe that it was, you know, that they were not pursuing a peaceful energy, enriching uranium for peaceful purposes. And she feels that the situation, the disastrous situation in Iraq, is sort of tied her hands in order to deal with Iran. But she did say that, you know, this country can afford to speak to its, you know, to its enemies, and that's, you know, what should happen. The, you know, military solution would not be the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
She could not go into detail because of her, because the it's still classified, on exactly what she was doing or, you know, what she had found out. And then in addition to that, you know, I asked her, how is it that with Iraq that the media and the intelligence got it all wrong?
Well, and in one of the earlier interviews I saw, she claimed that it wasn't until Colin Powell's speech that alarm bells went off in her head, that she kind of believed that there were people, you know, compartmentalized and separated from her at the agency who must have had other information.
Right.
And it doesn't quite square, because you would think that the alarm bells would have gone on a couple of weeks earlier, around the 16 words in the State of the Union message. But she said...
Yeah, she actually did say that. She actually said that for her, the alarm bells went off, you know, earlier. So I don't know if there's just a difference there, or perhaps, you know, maybe the Colin Powell thing just, you know, drove it home. But, mm-hmm. you know, she did say that, you know, she spoke to some people. There were some, she heard about cherry-picking intelligence, and... certainly, you know, what she felt was when the 16 words were, you know, about the Niger, President Bush claiming that Iraq was trying to acquire uranium from Niger, that did she miss something? Did she and her colleagues miss some sort of intelligence someplace?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that her answer about, you know, how it all went wrong was good.
Well, and what comes across is that she was not some sort of an outspoken opponent of the Bush administration. At least from her representations, she was a team player at the CIA, and she was looking for those WMD in Iraq.
Right, exactly. She clearly was engaged in that issue, in that trying to... you know, uncover, you know, nuclear proliferation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she thought that she was, you know, doing a great job until suddenly they leaked her identity.
Jason, great work. I want people to go to truthout.org and watch the video. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it.
Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And by the way, Truth Out's got its fundraiser underway if you can help.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. We know many military veterans come home troubled, but these findings are stunning. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan reports.
No one had ever counted just how many suicides there are nationwide among those who have served in the military. Until now, a 5-month CBS News investigation, based upon a detailed analysis of data obtained from death records in 2004 and 2005, found overall veterans were more than twice as likely to commit suicide in 2005 as non-vets. It was part of a set of numbers that stunned everyone, from Senator Pat Patty Murray.
That's a lot of young men and women who've gone to fight for us, who've come home and found themselves that lost.
To veterans rights advocate Paul Sullivan.
This is pulling the fire alarm to say our veterans need help now.
Armin Katayan, CBS News, New York.
A new Pentagon study paints a troubling picture of troops returning from war. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
This study finds 6 months after an initial mental health screening, problems are expanding among soldiers back from Iraq. Post-traumatic stress, a 50% increase. Depression rates, double. The biggest increase comes in the area of personal conflicts. There's a fourfold jump in the number of soldiers reporting marital or other relationship problems.
The study found more readjustment problems for National Guard troops and reservists than for active duty soldiers. A U-turn on Wall Street. After days of decline, the Dow jumped 319 points to close at 13,307. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the market got some encouraging news.
Goldman Sachs led the charge there. It's a major Wall Street brokerage firm, and it said it does not plan any significant write-downs on mortgage-related assets. And that helped to ease the jitters that investors have been having over the credit crunch.
Also, Walmart reported an 8% jump in quarterly profits and raised its forecast for the holidays. And the price of crude oil plummeted $3.50 after a report that global demand is falling. Georgia has looked to Washington for help getting through this drought, and today the state appealed to a higher authority. Outside the state capitol in Atlanta, a church choir sang "What a Mighty God We Serve," and Governor Sonny Perdue led the prayers for rain.
I'm here today to appeal to you and to all Georgians and all people who believe in the power of prayer to ask God to shower our state, our region, our nation with the blessings of water.
Forecasters say it will take a miracle for Georgia to get any significant rain this week. Habla español, parlez-vous français? More American college students do. A survey by the Modern Language Association of America finds enrollment in language courses up nearly 13% over 4 years, and the fastest growing language is Arabic, with 24,000 students enrolled in 466 different programs. The price of gold down $6 today to $801 an ounce. This is CBS News.
Attention men, Match.com has too many women. This is not a drill. We created a marketing campaign to attract as many of the most captivating women as possible. Well, it worked. Now we have more on our site than ever in recorded history. The odds are in your favor, and at Match.com, we're willing to bet on them. If you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. So go ahead, it's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Breathe too much carbon monoxide and it can kill you, but carbon monoxide is used to make some packaged meats look attractive in the supermarket butcher case, and CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv tells us that sparked a controversy on Capitol Hill today.
Consumer activists told the House subcommittee that federal regulators have approved deceptive packaging.
Meat packaged with carbon monoxide might be very unsafe, but the consumer would never question this because of its artificial bright red color.
Nancy Donnelly of Chicago, whose son died of E. coli poisoning, the